The scripture reading this morning is the Great Commission, Jesus speaking to the 11 remaining disciples, and these are the last two verses of the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, the Father, and of the Son, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
イエスは近づいてきて彼らにこう言われた。私には天においても地においても一切の権威が与えられています。それゆえあなた方は行ってあらゆる国の人々を弟子としなさい。そして父子聖霊の皆によってバプテスマを受け、また私があなたに命じておいたすべてのことを守るように彼らを教えなさい。見よ、私は世の終わりまでいつもあなた方と共にいます。
Good morning. How are you doing? Good, good, good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy over our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this weekend just celebrating Memorial Day. And we thank you, Father, for all those that serves in the military, Lord, and all those, Lord, that passed away. We just ask that you would comfort the families, Lord. We pray today, Father, that you would bless us with your presence. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill this place and fill our hearts, Lord. We want a deeper revelation of you, God. We thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. You are all familiar with the Holy Spirit? Yes? I've been doing a series on honoring and how there's a blessing in honoring. There's a blessing when we honor one another. There's a blessing when we honor God. Amen. In 1 Samuel 2:30, God makes this statement. It says, "Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained." Now in this story in 1 Samuel, it's about two of Eli's son. Eli was a prophet. He was the high priest of the temple, and his sons were in charge of the offerings. And his sons did some shady business during the offering time, and took some of the offering for themselves, and did whatever they wanted to do. And God came to Eli and rebuked him harshly and makes this statement, "Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained." Now, I want to talk about that statement for a bit, because some might say, well, isn't God love, and doesn't he love us unconditionally? And yes, he does. Although the Bible never uses that term, he loves us unconditionally. For lack of better words, he does love us just the way we are. Good news. He loves us when we're good. He loves us when we're rotten. And he loves us the way we are, and we could come to him however we are. We don't have to try to clean up our act before we come to him. He will accept us And he loves us enough to not leave us how we are, though. Amen? We come to him as we are, and God is love, and he will transform us into what we could not become on our own strength. Amen. That's good news. I've heard it said, you know, if you're the problem, you can't be the solution either. And God gives us a solution. And just go on with God's unconditional love. In his unconditional love, any one of us, and the greatest news is any one of us, through God, can get to heaven. But God is not interested, just interested in getting us into heaven, but is interested in getting heaven into us. And so when you hear teachings in the Bible such as, rejoice always, you know, that's a heavenly reality. Rejoice always, because honestly, I'm not there yet. I'm not always rejoicing, okay? I don't know about it. Some of you may be always rejoicing. But rejoice always is a heavenly reality, because in heaven there's just going to be rejoicing all the time. Amen. But that's a heavenly reality. God wants to get into us even here on earth, so that just a glimpse of it can be experienced. Just a glimpse of God's glory can be experienced here on earth. And it will continue on for eternity in heaven. And the good news is this, before I go on and talking about honoring God, the good news is simply this, that Jesus has made a way. And Jesus is the way. And if we honor Jesus, he will transform us. The greatest blessing. He will make us like him. Jesus gives us a spiritual principle in Matthew 10:41. He says, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if we look at that statement, sometimes it's possible to receive a prophet simply as a righteous person, and we miss the reward of a prophet. Does that make sense? So if, let me give you an example. If I receive men son here, just as a good man, and forget that he is a political genius who taught political science, I believe, at the U of A, and actually across the U.S., right? You've been to how many schools teaching? And if I receive him just as simply as a good person, and never ask him about politics, when he speaks about politics, just close my ears, I miss the reward I could have of someone who's taught politics for longer than I've been alive. And so we can miss somebody's reward if we don't see what that person is called to. For example, many people see Jesus simply as a prophet and receive a prophet's reward. But he is more than just a prophet. He is a savior. And the greatest reward Jesus gives us is salvation, discipleship, mentorship. And if we just simply see him as a prophet, a good moral teacher, then we miss the reward that he has for us. So spiritual principle of honoring, it really comes down to recognizing a person's callings, giftings. And I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today, because most of us, we know about God the Father, the Creator. And if you want to know more about creation, see Mark Stockwell. He is a part of a ministry that talks about Genesis 1 through 6? 11. Genesis 1 through 11 about creation. And their ministry talks, you know, about how we can put our faith in Genesis 1, chapters 1 through 11, and how that is very, if you look at it, it is cogent, simply meaning it makes sense. We don't have to see it as a made-up story. But most of us, we accept God the Father. Most of us accept Jesus as Savior. But what about the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit's purpose here on earth? And are we honoring the Holy Spirit? Do we honor the Holy Spirit? In Isaiah 63:10, talking about the people, God's people, God gives them this revelation. It says, "They rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit, so He turned and became their enemy, and He Himself fought against them." They rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. It is possible to rebel and grieve the Holy Spirit even as we are God's people. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. He can be dishonored. He can be ignored. He can be looked past. And the question is, if the Holy Spirit would leave JCCT, would we notice? Would it make a difference in how we worship? If the Holy Spirit were to leave our lives, would it make a difference? And I hope the answer is yes. Amen. Let's say it will make a huge difference. I hope it would. I hope it'd make a difference in your life. I hope it'd make a difference here at JCCT. You guys remember the story of King David? King David, obviously, was a king. He was the second king of Israel, one of the greatest king to ever have lived in Israel's history. He is held up as the king of Israel. If you know his story, though, he's not without flaws. He was in an adulterous relationship, which led to him setting a conspiracy to kill the woman's husband he had an adulterous affair with. In one of his poems, David writes this. In the Psalms, he says, "Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me." Beautiful psalm. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit away from me. David knew the importance of God's Holy Spirit, and he knew if once that was taken away, he would be completely ruined for the rest of his life. And so I want to talk about these next couple of weeks. I want to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, what His role is on earth, in our lives, and how we can honor Him. But first of all, I want to say He is God. Most of you know that in Christianity, we have the theology of three in one, one in three. The Godhead of called the Trinity. I'm not going to explain it. I'm just going to tell you. The Trinity includes God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are all one, the same, but three different personalities. They are one and the same, but three completely, not completely, but different. And so God has a function. Jesus has a function, the Holy Spirit has a function, and there are people that say, you know, the Old Testament was primarily God's time the Father's time of ministry, the New Testament, Jesus Christ, and now today it is the Holy Spirit. And so it's important if that is true. Not that the Holy Spirit isn't found in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, or and not that God the Father is absent in the New Testament or present time, not that Jesus is absent in the Old Testament. Make sense? But just to make the point clear that the Holy Spirit is God, in the scripture reading we had today, Matthew 28:19, it says, Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Three, I guess, people that we need to honor and be baptized in to truly be a disciple of Jesus. It would be weird if you would say something else that was not God. You know, it would be weird if I would have said, if Jesus would have said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Michael the Archangel. Right? That would be blasphemy, right? Go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Apostle Paul. That's blasphemy, right? No one would, they would be like, put that with the Gospel of Judas. Something like that. Anyways, he says, go and make the disciples of all nations, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And most of you know baptizing means submerging or immersing. And many of us, automatically, we think of water, and that is important. Water baptism is very important. But I think Jesus is talking more about just being submerged in water. I think he means be submerged in the Father. Be submerged into Jesus. Be submerged into the Holy Spirit. May those three things absolutely surround you. Completely surround you. Be submerged in those three. Now the Holy Spirit has all the attributes, for lack of a better word, a person. And the first thing, and what I want to talk about today, is he has a voice. Just looking up on the internet, what makes a person unique, and you know, what sets them apart from the animal kingdom. And I guess one of the biggest things is language. We have, humans have the unique ability to communicate. Not that whales and dolphins and dogs, not that they don't communicate, and I know your dogs can communicate with you very well. But their language is not as complex as ours. Human beings. And the Holy Spirit has a voice. And I think what makes God distinct is his voice. The first thing the revelation of God is, God said. He spoke. And actually the Holy Spirit has a distinct voice. If you look at Acts 13:2, it says, while they were worshiping, and this is the church after Jesus rose from the grave. The church were a budding religion, I guess. They were making a lot of disciples. It was growing in the midst of opposition and persecution. They were still growing, and they wanted to move out even further. And in Acts 13:2, it says, while the church was worshiping the Lord and fasting, check this out, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And apparently more than one person heard this. And I don't know how it happened. I don't know what it sounded like. They didn't describe the voice. But apparently it was distinct from Jesus' voice, and apparently it was distinct from God the Father's voice. And they said, oh, this must be the Holy Spirit speaking. I'm not going to say much about this, but The human language probably isn't the most common form of communication of the Holy Spirit, but he definitely does use it. Jesus, speaking about the Holy Spirit in John 14 and 16, gives us the revelation that the Holy Spirit will give us, will guide us, will teach us, and will speak only what he hears the Father saying. And he will lead us into... And Jesus says something remarkable. He says, I have much to tell you, but you can't handle it now, but the Holy Spirit will come, and he will teach you all things. And he will remind you all things. And he will guide you. And he is called the Advocate. And in the Greek, that is a legal term, probably meaning an advisor, lawyer kind of thing. Okay, I'll share it. I was thinking in my head I was having self-talk. But, you know, sometimes it's good to have a lawyer, amen? Sometimes it's not good. But, you know, I just to give you a little story about myself, was in Japan when I was 25, and I stayed there for over a year. I'm here as a green card citizen. And I guess after 6 months, if you're out of state for over 6 months, it is presumed that you have relinquished your green card. And so when I came back, I was in a little legal trouble. And so I had to get a lawyer. Yeah. I kind of felt important, though. You know, at 26, if you say, oh, I had to talk to my lawyer, it kind of sounds important. These days, I don't want a lawyer at all. But anyways, I said I had a lawyer. And let me tell you, I was so grateful I had a lawyer. Because when I went to court and I sat there in court, it was the most intimidating thing I've been to. It's just, you know, your honor. I didn't know how to address the judge, and it was just very formal and very scary. I guess he, you know, my fate was in his hand. He could have just said, I'm back to Japan forever. And, you know, I'm glad I had a lawyer. Well, spiritually, we have the lawyer, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Paraclete, and he speaks to us. What kind of advisor would he be if he did not speak? But Jesus says he guides, he leads, he teaches, he reminds, he testifies, he does all of these things. Interestingly enough, Utah came in this morning and he talked to me about meeting up with some Mormons. And during that conversation, he said he distinctly heard the Holy Spirit speak to him. You could ask him what the Holy Spirit sounded like. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. He speaks to us all the time. He communicates with us all the time. And it's not always in the form of, you know, an audible voice. It's not always even in the form of the English language. He sometimes may speak to us in a foreign language. It may not be in the Japanese language. But he has a voice, and in Hebrews 3, 7 through 8, it says this. Again, talking about the Old Testament. It says, so as the Holy Spirit says... And this time he was speaking in Hebrew, I guess, but it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. And this is a reference to when Israel was set free from the bonds of slavery of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness or the desert for 40 years, going in circles. And apparently during those 40 years, the Holy Spirit was speaking to them. But they hardened their hearts. And they closed their ears. Let me tell you that every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you close your ears, your heart gets hardened. Every time he pushes you or impresses upon your heart to do something, and you say no, there are consequences. Now, there are absolute blessings when you say yes. There's a price to be paid. Now, either way, there's a price to be paid, right? Because we say no because we weigh the consequences. Do I want to look silly? Or do I want to be obedient? Do I really want to do this? Or do I want to be accepted? You guys ever had that dilemma? Is it just me? I'll tell you a story where I failed. I usually like to put me up as a hero, but this time I failed, okay? So there was a time when I preached a sermon during Easter, and as by tradition, I just usually pray after my sermon. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, give an altar call. Now, I usually don't do altar calls, and you know, I don't know if I'm a big fan of altar calls, but I did feel the Holy Spirit say, give an altar call. Well, you know, it was just an impression. I felt that it was from the Holy Spirit. And since I'm not used to doing it, and it's just, you know, I didn't do an altar call. And let me tell you, it was a pretty good sermon. It was better than today's. It was a pretty good sermon. And, you know, Easter went well, like it usually does. And I was going home, and I felt like absolute garbage, rubbish. I felt like rubbish. I use a biblical term. Felt like rubbish. And I said, I told my wife that I felt like rubbish. And she's like, no, you had a good sermon. She's always pretty encouraging. You did great, you know. But let me tell you, it grieved my heart, because I just felt, I guess the Holy Spirit was grieved too, but maybe that's why my heart was just grieved, because I grieved the Holy Spirit. I quenched him. It wasn't even that much pressure. You know, I'm at church, you know. Who doesn't do an altar call at church? It's not like I would have gotten in trouble if I did it. It's just, I don't know why I didn't do it. You guys ever have that? It's like, why didn't I do it? You know, I felt the Lord ask me to pray for somebody. Now, that's a little more strange if I go and pray for a stranger. But, you know, what's the worst that could come out of that? Him saying no? If you are obedient, if you're disobedient, the worst is your heart will get hardened. You know, weigh the pros and cons, and you rather have a hardened heart or somebody say, no, you're kind of crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Growing up, I always kind of wanted to be unique, but, you know, not to the point where people thought I was crazy. Unique to the point where people thought, oh, that guy is cool. He's unique. He's original. Well, God is trying to make originals out of all of you. And you know what? You will get rejected. I'm going to just tell you how it is. You will get rejected. But you won't always get rejected. In fact, there will be times when you said, oh my gosh, that is the best decision I've made in my life. Right? This Hebrews 3:7-8 passage. It would have been their absolute best decision they made if they would have obeyed the Holy Spirit. They would have entered into the promised land. But they're like, no, we don't want to fight. You know, we're comfortable with tents and quails and manna. What was offered them with a land flowing with milk and honey, grapes as size as basketballs, and just paradise on earth almost was offered them. But they hardened their hearts. I'll give you a story where I actually listened to the Holy Spirit. And so there was a time when I felt the Holy Spirit convict me, say, hey, confess this sin because you lied about it. And I'm like, ah. This was back in 90 or 2000-ish. So we didn't have text messaging. If we did, I probably would have texted the person because that's just the cool thing to do. But we did have email. And I was too afraid to just call the person. So I emailed the person. I wrote the email. And as I was about to press send, I'm like, man, really? Do I really have to do this? God, don't you love me unconditionally? Didn't you pay for my sin? Why do I have to do this, right? It's like, theologically, I'm all right. Jesus paid for my sin. His blood washes me. I'm just going to worship him. But I clearly felt the Lord telling me to confess this sin. And so this, right before I pressed send, it was like the darkest moment in my life. I was like, oh my gosh. But I pressed send. And after I pressed send, I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? And maybe that was Satan I was listening to, right? This is just not what the Bible teaches, kind of thing. But you know what? After a couple minutes went by, I just felt like the most amazing feeling ever. The most amazing. Something I cannot reproduce to this day. I wish I could. I confess to my wife's sins all the time, hoping that I could feel that feeling again. Because that's how good it felt. But I guess it wasn't the confessing of the sin. You know what it was? It was simply listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and obeying Him. And it is the most amazing feeling when you're walking in that kind of obedience. And I wish I could tell you, I do it all the time, but you know, sometimes I weigh the pros and cons and I don't want this stranger to think I'm crazy, so I'm not gonna do it. Or I don't want this so-and-so to think I'm, you know, whatever, so I'm not gonna do it. It's good to honor one another, but if you honor one another above God, let me tell you, you will live in just a hardened heart. Let me tell you, a hardened heart will weigh your life down. So I hope and pray that you become familiar with who the Holy Spirit is through this series, who the Holy Spirit is, and get to recognize His voice. And as you recognize His voice, live in obedience to it. Because there's no greater, I'm not going to put the focus on feeling, but there's no better place to be than in obedience in Christ. And that's what being a Christian is, being living in obedience to Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for your grace. We ask that you would never leave us, Lord. We ask that you would never leave JCCT. We want to be a place and a people and a community that honors you and that gives you the freedom to have your way in our lives. Even now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill each and every one of us, that we would recognize your voice and we would see you as the advocate that could help us, that is our ever-present help in any need we have. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.